Morning, Miss Yo. My name is Cao Su, and I'm on staff here. And it's just good to see everybody. It's Super Bowl Sunday. Whoop whoop. I'm rooting for the Hawks. Next year. But really, I'm rooting for Kansas City. You know, Tom Brady, he's got to go. He's won them all. He's got to share the wealth. But anyways, whoever you're voting for, you know, hopefully it'll be a good game. I know, GOAT, I know. Go Bucks. But yeah, I'm just excited to be here. I have, you know, we've been in 40 days of prayer for 2021. And this is our last week, y'all. So we've been spending this time in prayer together as a church and as a larger family with the Alliance, which is the denomination that Missio is a part of. And so the first week we spent in the holiness of God. Week two was repentance and growing in holiness in Christ. Week three was spirit empowerment and fullness. Week four was about evangelism. Week five last week was loving marginalized people, and this week is about family on mission, and I will be wrapping up our 40 days together today. So when Dom asked me a few weeks ago if I'd like to teach today, my initial reaction was, eeks, do I want to? What's it on? Is this going to be a tough topic that I'm going to be teaching on? But when he mentioned it was about being a family on mission and bringing the good news of Jesus Christ to the nations, I was on board. And if you know me, that is my heart, is for the lost. And so the next question was, okay, so where do I start? And where in the Bible are we going to be reading from? And so I thought, what a better book than the book of Acts. The book of Acts. So we're going to get right into it. All right. So if you have your Bibles or your apps, please open them up to Acts chapter 1, verse 3 to 8. So Acts chapter 1, verse 3 to 8. And I'm going to read it here. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." Let's pray. Father God, I just ask you, to speak through me to your people, to your church, that this message today will align our hearts with yours, so that when we see and hear about your kingdom work being done here in our neighborhoods and in the nations, Lord, would you awaken our souls, that we are able to see the world through your eyes and respond with love, not only as individuals, but Father, as a family on mission. Amen. All right, so I forgot to mention this, but if you can grab a pen and paper, we're going to do something a little different this week. It's a little more interactive. So I'm going to give you a quick moment here to go grab a piece of paper and pen. And little ones, you can do the same thing with your mamas and your dads. So on this paper, if you're ready, you're going to draw a horizontal line across the middle of your paper. All right. And then on the top half of the paper, I'm going to ask you a couple of questions, and I want you to respond. So I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to go back to the moment when you first heard the good news and the moment that you first decided to follow Jesus. In a couple of words, would you write down how you were feeling? And then my second question to you is, who is Jesus to you? With some single words, go ahead and jot that down. Who is Jesus to you? And feel free to keep writing as I continue to talk. We'll come back to this later. Trust me, it'll all tie in and hopefully make some sense. But I'm going to give you a little background on the book of Acts. A little background and a little history, because this is an exciting book, y'all. It's a really exciting book. The book of Acts was written by Luke, who was a co-worker with the Apostle Paul. And this book tells us about the resurrected Savior, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. And so the book begins with 40 days of Jesus spending his time with disciples and sharing about the work of God and how he was going to restore the people, his people, through the death and the resurrection of his son, Jesus. And in addition to that, Luke also writes about God's promise in verse 4. It was a promise to give an offering of the Holy Spirit to take up residence among his people. And not only that, but that was to transform our hearts, to transform their hearts. And when this happens, Jesus says, the Spirit will empower you. And his disciples will be witnesses, first in Jerusalem to the Jews, and then to the neighboring regions of Judea and Samaria, which is full of non-Jewish people from different ethnicities, and then to the nations and to the ends of the earth. So we're going to go back to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. We're going to reread that. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And then when he says this, he goes poof, he ascends back into heaven. Mic drop. His departure is so like mind-blowing, but that is that departure is to show how Jesus ascends back to the right hand of God, and who this son is to us, he reveals. And so the rest of the book basically is an account of about Jesus and leading his people by the Spirit and out into the world and to invite all nations to live under his reign. And so through his disciples and the good news of Jesus, it starts to spread. These disciples, they start to go to these towns. And this starts to spread to families, to neighbors, to friends and strangers. And how, you ask? Well, I'm going to let you read the rest of the book of Acts. If you want a good read this winter, because we have some time, it's the book of Acts. There are some crazy, crazy and amazing and supernatural things that took place that through the Holy Spirit, the disciples did some amazing work that will blow your mind. Raising people from the dead. disciples experiencing stonings, healing the lame. And this one really gets me, converting a magician into a believer. Magicians, people. Magician nowadays. But, you know, this was the work of the disciples empowered by the Holy Spirit that was offered to us through Jesus. And the most powerful story to me in this is the transformation of one of the most calloused hearts in the Bible. And that is the Apostle Paul. And when he's converted, when he comes to know the Lord, he turns away from his old self and turns into a martyr for Jesus. Things that my mind can't fathom. But as you hear and as you read about these stories, what do you think is the result of these encounters? I just want you to take a moment. With some of the things that I listed, what do you think were the results of these encounters? You'll see that it was the promise of God, the promise of the Holy Spirit at work through his disciples, that people found hope, that people found hope in Jesus, not in themselves, not in their own doing, but the hope in Jesus. A hope that propelled them to share the good news of Jesus to their family, to their neighbors, to bordering regions and beyond. A hope that spread like wildfire because his disciples were empowered by the Holy Spirit. Not only was Jesus healing the lame and bringing the dead to life, his disciples were. And imagine the healing and bringing the dead to life and then providing that hope in the areas that were not just for God's people, not just for those in Jerusalem, but for the Gentiles, for the people who were not God's people. People who at that time had to live to standards, whether they were circumcised or uncircumcised, by old Jewish traditions, people who were not God's people. And really, at that time, imagine, they struggled. They struggled in cities that were diverse. The Gentiles struggled to make ends meet. But when they're all of a sudden finding hope in a man who was crucified and resurrected from the dead and was being called the Messiah, can you imagine what the government and the rulers were feeling? They were like, who is this man? They wanted to question. And needless to say, they were questioning. They were questioning about who this Messiah was. And so I'm painting this picture for you because imagine the life that was difficult for people who were looking for hope. Every little bit helped. You were desperately hanging on to something. And let me tell you that not only were the family of the dead and the lame and the diseased and the poor and the hungry were looking for hope, I also noticed that the disciples were looking for hope. Now remember, these disciples, they were fishermen. They had regular jobs, like regular people. And they questioned at times if they had the ability to bring the hope of Jesus to people. So put yourself in their shoes. I think about, let's say in our day today, you're walking down Gleason, right? And a complete stranger comes to you and is asking you for help. But you must go in their home, and there you find a dead body of a loved one. The family is grieving and desperately wanting their loved one to be restored back to life. And you know you can't do it on your own strength. what do you do? What do you do in that moment? I don't know, but I'm calling on the name of Jesus, and then I'm busting out my cell phone and I'm dialing 911 because I know I can't restore this person, but I need somebody else. Missio, I say this because God's work is unfinished. God's work is unfinished. Whether it be in our neighborhoods, whether it be in our communities, in a different country, and to a different people group who haven't heard the name of Jesus. This is where you and I in the church, where we come in, where we come in to bring hope to the unreached. The hope of Jesus is what will get us through this pandemic. The hope of Jesus will be the peace for the racial and the political unrest in our country. This is the hope that you will get through when you hear a cancer diagnosis, that will help you hustle to make ends meet, to put food on the table. This is the hope that can help your marriage weather through some differences and some difficult times, or when work and life become too taxing. This is also the same hope in Jesus that will sever addictions, that will restore relationships, that will establish new friendships, that will free you from bitterness that you've been harboring. And this is the same hope found only in Jesus that will help us look beyond ourselves, open our eyes to the hurting, to the poor, to the fatherless, to the marginalized that Dom spoke about last week, those who are in our neighborhoods and around the world. And I don't know about you, but earlier when Kelly was talking, the word Christian oftentimes in this day and age kind of can be cringy. But I want to remind you that as followers of Christ, as his disciples, not only have we heard the good news, but we've received the good news of Jesus. And we've been invited to share the good news of Jesus. We've been invited, if we go back to verse 8, where Jesus says to them, I'm going to empower you with the Spirit. That is his invitation. That is his invitation. And this invitation was extended to us when we decided to follow Jesus. Not only was this an invitation into his family, but we were also promised the Spirit. His word says that he will promise, the Father will promise the Spirit that will empower us to be bold in our faith, to speak up for others, to love our neighbors, to love our neighbors as ourselves. And y'all, we are a family. We are a family of believers of different walks, different experiences, different size, shapes, ethnicities, races, color of our skin. But the one thing that binds us together, that unites us together, is the power of Jesus. Our love for Jesus and his love for his people, empowered by his Spirit, living on mission together. So I want to challenge you that in this day and age, in today, in this pandemic, what are some of the ways? And maybe you've already been thinking about this. Maybe you've been challenged by this. But what are some of the ways that you can bring hope Hope to your neighbors. Hope to the poor. Hope to the needy. Hope to the fatherless. Hope to the marginalized. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 16 to 20, this is the Great Commission. I think for most of us, this is scripture that really sums up the mission of the church, of our family, of our Missio community and churches all over the world. And so if you open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28, 16 to 20, it reads, "Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him. But some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me.'" Remember back in Acts, what we just read, he said the Father has given us something. He has a promise. "That go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded of you." A command to love one another as ourselves. "And behold," he says, "behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." I'm with you always. I don't know if there is someone here who has been needing to hear this and needing boldness to bring hope. But know that God's word and God's promise for us is fulfilled through his son Jesus, fulfilled also through each of us as a family on mission, as a body of believers, as Christ followers. That when we profess that we are Christians, that when we profess that we follow Jesus, we also profess that we are empowered by the Holy Spirit to bring hope, to bring the good news to our neighbors, to our communities. So I want to encourage you on that piece of paper that I gave you, or not that I gave you, but that you grabbed, on that bottom half, I want you to write something. I want you to write this question: what can I do to share the hope of Jesus? What can I do to share the hope of Jesus? You can leave it blank. Maybe the Spirit is prompting you to share already. Maybe you have somebody on your mind that you've been wanting to share the hope of Jesus. But I want you to pin this, leave it somewhere, have it serve as a reminder of the unfinished work that we have a privilege to be a part of. I know that in these times have been challenging, especially in this pandemic. Many people that I've spoken to are desiring to see each other, to see their loved ones, to see other people, but also this desire is to want to help, to want to love, to want to be a part of the community. You see people who are marginalized. You see people who are hurting, who need hope. And each of you here can bring the hope of Jesus to them. I want to share a little story before I end. Back in 2016, there was a church that was sent out on a missions trip to a country where only 1% of the population of the entire country are Christians. And this team left such an impact during their time there. One of the young women that they met there. And within 24 hours of meeting them, she turned her life over to Christ. She came to know the Lord. This young woman grew up in a Buddhist family. Practicing many rituals and many traditions, going to temples, burning incense, trying to do good deeds, asking in return, asking Buddha in return to give her a better afterlife. And since meeting this team, she's turned away from her old ways. She left a good paying job to serve the poor, to serve the hungry, to give hope to the hopeless. Sorry, I'm getting so emotional here. She leads Sunday school in her local church. She continues to share the love of Christ with her neighbors and everyone that she meets. This church, Missio, was you. This church sent your first team to Bangkok to share the love of Christ. Through this team, this young woman's name is Ui. I'm going to ask Miles to share some photos. Sorry, I did not expect to be this emotional. But when I sat and reflected on the work that God is doing in different parts of the world, this story really just blew me away. That's Uli right there sitting on the ground. She's a fireball. Yang and Robert know. And some of the team, Dom and Joel, you guys have met her. But the things that she has been doing since she has encountered Jesus is amazing. These pictures, you'll see her holding the mic over here on the left, is now the intern, the Thai intern at the Envision site in Bangkok. This picture here actually is what they call, the name just slipped my mind. But basically they gathered all the children in that neighborhood where they were holding church. And these children were always running in and out of the cafe that the church was meeting in. And I'm like, who are these naughty kids running in with no parents? But like, she sees the opportunity and she was like, these kids need to hear the gospel. These kids need to be in Sunday school. And she is now leading Sunday school and this kids camp, that's what it was called, this kids camp. They teamed up with a team that came to visit and put on this kids camp to share the gospel with these kids in the neighborhood. They put flyers around the area, invited and connected with families of these kids, and they heard the good news of Jesus. All because of the team, and that the gospel fell fresh on her ears when our first Missio team went out. I know that before that, she was really, her heart and her soul was really craving for hope. And in that moment, Walt was speaking that evening and Walt had shared and it just spoke to her. And in that moment, she was sold out. She was sold out for Christ. And that brought so much joy to her life. So much joy now to these kids' lives that you can see. every week in this pandemic, it's been difficult because they also are not meeting. But every week she's intentional about going to the neighborhood and checking in on them. There's another photo too of her on the ground where she's packing up these food bags and handing them out to those who are in the neighborhood. You can see there's oyster sauce, a staple in in the pantry there. But that is because the work and the financial support and the prayers and the ways that Missio has served in Thailand, that others get to hear the gospel, the good news. She is empowered by the same Holy Spirit that we are empowered by. The promise of the Father that when we have opportunities to share the good news to our neighbors, to the cities, know that you are not alone. Know that you can't do it alone. And so I just want to leave you with that. I want you to know that you can to be the hope of Jesus Christ to your neighbors. And I pray that you have opportunities to do that this week. And if there are people who are on your minds and your hearts that God is prompting you to have conversation with, go out in boldness. Go out knowing that you have been empowered by the Holy Spirit to share the hope of good news and to share the hope of Jesus. All right, y'all. So lastly, I want to wrap this up. Because we are a part of the Alliance and there are many international workers sent through the Alliance who have a lot of unfinished work, whether it's here domestically in the States and happening in different parts of the world. We have international workers out there that are wanting to share their journey and the unfinished work of God in those different countries. So actually next Friday, February 12th, there is an online event that you can sign up for. It's called Unfinished in Us. And the president of the Alliance, John Stumbo, will be speaking along with Reverend Ted King. He's also a pastor of a multi-ethnic and a multilingual church down in San Jose, California, a great speaker. And he will also be teaching on the surrendering to Christ and the Christ's sanctifying work that moves us into deeper intimacy with him. And so some really good words that will be spoken and some updates on God's work, unfinished work in the States here and domestically and internationally. So there is going to be a link, if I think Yang has already put it in there, in the chat box. So feel free to sign up for that. But I also wanted to end, I don't know if you guys are familiar with Aaron Schuss, but he's a recording artist and he's part of the Alliance family. And he has written a song. And this song really helps sums it all up for us.